Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up with Eric Gallagher about all things youth going on in the diocese. And there is a lot, both things that have gone on this summer and things planned for the next few months. I hope you will stick around for that interview to learn about all of that. Renee Krantz will have news for us from the Bishop's Bulletin in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Father Joseph Schulten with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and a trumpet blast and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
The Catholic Daughters of the Americas recently instituted Court St. Joseph, number 2754, at St. Anne Parish in Miller. 43 members took the membership pledge. Father Paul Jostin was installed as the court chaplain. Court St. Joseph will be able to choose projects on the local level for the good of their church and their community. A federal judge temporarily blocked Missouri's ban on abortion on or beyond the eighth week of pregnancy that was to take effect August 28th. U.S. District Judge Howard Sachs delayed implementation of the law in a ruling August 27th, while a legal challenge to it continues. The decision comes in a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union in Missouri, of Missouri and Planned Parenthood. The organizations argued that the law is unconstitutional and violates the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide. The law provides an exception in cases of medical emergencies, but there are not exceptions for rape or incest. Doctors performing abortions after 8 weeks under the law would have faced 5 to 15 years in prison. There is no punishment for the mother. a New Jersey state appeals court allowed a new law permitting assisted suicide to continue, overturning a lower court decision that temporarily blocked the law. A pair of judges ruled August 27th that a state superior court abused its discretion in stopping the law. Governor Phil Murphy, a Catholic, signed the bill into law April 12th, making New Jersey the seventh state allowing assisted suicide. Under the law, competent New Jersey residents over age 18 who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness and have 6 months or less to live and have medical confirmation of their situation can get a prescription for a lethal medication to end their life. The Catholic Church in Central and Eastern Europe and Central Asia is making remarkable progress in the countries that were once behind the Iron Curtain, said a bishop who recently visited the region. Bishop Donald J. Hying of Madison, a member of the U.S. Bishops' Subcommittee on Aid to the Church in Central and Eastern Europe, visited Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan for the first time in July and saw how Catholics have maintained their faith despite seeing their churches seized or destroyed, leaving them with no place to worship and minimal pastoral support. People often gathered clandestinely under communist rule, he said. Despite the fall of communism 30 years ago, the church in the countries continues to struggle to rebuild after 30 years of oppressive rule. The work of the subcommittee also supports the Catholic community in Central Asia. Bishop Hying recalled meeting a group of Catholics in one village who clandestinely told stories of Jesus and continued to pray with one rosary. Wildfires raging in Bolivia and Brazil underscore the urgency of the Synod of Bishops for the Amazon that Pope Francis has called for October, said Bishop Eugenio Cotter of the Apostolic Vicariate of Pando in northern Bolivia. Fires in the Bolivian Amazon have burned an area about the size of Connecticut and left at least 50 families homeless. The devastation from the fires shows that the Pope is right. This is an emergency for humanity and for the church, Bishop Cotter said. Farmers in the Amazon basin often set fires to fields and pastures at this time of year to prepare land for planting. Hot temperatures and winds can quickly whip flames out of control, and most communities lack firefighting equipment. This year's fire season is the worst that people can remember, Bishop Cotter said. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
There's a terrible mess down there in the Amazon.
It is.
I really hope they get some rain and some help.
And maybe some farm equipment.
And maybe some farm equipment. Exactly right. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher, who directs the Youth Discipleship and Evangelization for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Eric, we like to touch base every once in a while and kind of catch up on what's going on. We did it before the summer, and I guess maybe the place to start is now that we're kind of post-summer and you're through all of that, how do you feel about Totus Tuus and the all the different gatherings that you had at Broomtree this year?
Yeah, this was every summer is so different. This one was different because it was the first summer we didn't have any big transitioning happening. Mm-hmm. So Becca Eckern is my admin assistant. This was her second full summer, so she kind of had that.
it's a little smoother.
I mean, we just had turnaround and transitioning for the last 5 or 6 years. We've had to take over the cooking at D-Camp, so we're hiring cooks and planning meals, and our cook returned this year for the first time.
Nice.
So like it was kind of relaxing to someone like this was relaxing for you. So relatively speaking, it was an ordinary summer, but very good.
What do you see from the kids? Talk about what the experience that the kids have and how you feel about that.
Yeah. So we have one of the new things, we're starting this formation program that's coming. It's kind of a soft start. Not much is out there about it yet, but one of the very subtle things was our Totus Tuus teachers were told about it, and as kind of a soft start, we were told if you meet kids who you think would like something like this, to kind of take their faith to the next level, we made this postcard for them to invite the kids to it. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening now is we're starting to see these applications of, it's just really cool to kind of see that these missionaries are connecting with young people. There are young people out there who are really hungry for the faith. Mm-hmm. And now they're kind of reaching out saying, yes, I want more. And so I'm in the middle of developing that and what that looks like. But that's kind of the new thing that kind of happened this summer, was just the evolution of that. Our theme with D-Camp was on the liturgical year. So we had, in the building, people saw Christmas trees and Easter baskets. And like, it was a unique year in that regard. The first time we've redone a theme for camp because I've been around long enough to kind of recycle some of the things.
Gonna have to come back to it. Yeah.
So it was a great summer though.
Yeah. And I know, you know, one of your goals always is, and I know with anything that you're doing is to make sure that, you know, whatever the diocese is doing at that level, simply enriches what's happening at the parish level and makes those connections because that's where most of our life and faith is lived out, isn't it?
Yeah. It has to be a partnership, I think. And even we're reserving teams next year for TOTUS Tuus already starting September 1st. And part of that conversation with the parish is this is a formation program for your young adults. Mm-hmm. And so it's a continual back and forth situation where parishes might want some new life within their youth ministry. So they send their kids to D camp. Well, our hope at D camp is that the kids can leave D camp and go back and live their life more faithfully and vibrantly. And that would be a gift to the parish in that sense. And then the kids who want more, sometimes we can offer that through the Going Deeper retreats so it's a continual back and forth where we need to be working together with the parishes to offer what's best. And there's just things that make sense for us to do at the diocesan level versus the parish level. And
right.
And my role really is to be attentive to that and try to respond as best as we can.
So one of the things that you're doing starting actually this coming week is an orientation program for those who are working in parishes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, last year we didn't do much for our leaders in the parishes and it was dropped the ball and it was neglected. We didn't do discipleship day last year. And so there was just kind of a void there. So that's been the top priority this year. And there's four or five different things we're doing. But something I want to do for several years now is this, it's a orientation. Basically when you show up as a youth leader, Father's asked you to lead the youth group or a religious ed or something. And most of those people in our diocese are coming with zero experience. They may have seen something. They might have an idea of what it looks like. Or they might just kind of be looking at what has been happening. And really across the country, we're one of the few areas in the Midwest that don't have like a professional atmosphere for youth ministry. We have very few paid full-time youth ministers, several DREs. But relatively speaking, we have a very small number. So many of them are volunteers and they're just kind of coming with lots of questions. So yeah, this is the first year we're offering. It's a two-day thing. Some people are only going to be able to come for one day, but the hope is really just to kind of introduce them to some of the basics, help them see what the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal offers in return for resources and things like that. There will be an opportunity for them to meet several of the diocesan staff and to hear from the different offices. So yeah, and probably more importantly, just to get together and meet others that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, such great value in knowing there's others going through what you're going through. Something as simple as that.
Yeah, and this year we're doing anyone who's done it for the first has been doing this for 5 years or less, and so it seems to be new. You still feel new, I think, after 3, 4, 5 years, but. Our plan is to do it every year and to offer that so that they can kind of get a refresher. Because I know with a lot of things, you get the orientation, and if you go through it a second time around a year later, it kind of makes more sense because it doesn't seem like it really relates or doesn't. That's not really going to happen to me. And then after a year, you realize, oh, this stuff does happen. And so hopefully they'll continue to, it'll evolve into a mentorship type thing as well where veteran youth leaders can help the younger ones. So I've seen a lot of other dioceses do stuff like this, and I think it's just time for us to adopt something. So it'll start simply this year, and it'll likely grow.
And what a support for our priests who, you know, are always trying to find people to do this sort of work, volunteers, as you said, in a lot of cases. And if they can say to the person that they're trying to get to volunteer, hey, I've got some training for you, I mean, that helps a lot.
Yeah, it really depends on the pastors too, because they do either they're just trying to find someone to like take care of all the youth stuff, and then the person's like, okay, what does that mean? And the priest might say, well, that's your job is to figure that out.
Yeah, you figure it out. Yeah.
Or some priests have a really big vision in mind, and then they hire someone to do certain jobs within that vision, and so hopefully this can kind of accommodate all those things and just help them understand like just finding your role and how to find your role in all this is important.
There's so much that can be part of that, but I imagine there's some real basic stuff that you want to make sure they walk away with.
Yeah, and we have all the ongoing fundamental, like the vision training and things like that we'll do, and some of that's very specific depending on what a parish is doing. And so that's the difficult dynamic we have is some parishes are doing a small group model, some are doing a large group model, some are doing classroom religious education. It's all over the board. So we can't really do one thing that gets it all. So this is going to be really practically safe environment, liability forms,
yep.
Just some of the oversight practices, how to handle office hours within ministry, like working with the other parish staff, having a relationship with your pastor, things like that, how to have a prayer life within ministry, what that looks like. So it'll be very basic, but yeah. Hopefully a good start. Kind of the stuff that we would say, this is the stuff I wish I would have known when I first started.
Is a lot of it language, Eric? I mean, in terms of, I think about, you know, for a long time we were using the term "why disciple." Now we don't seem to be using that term so much. So even getting the lingo and the language down in terms of being current is kind of important.
Yeah. And just to simply say, well, if people are doing "why disciple," what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, some people are sort of doing "why disciple," and they're doing an adaptation of "why disciple." But yeah, some of the orientation will just be simply an orientation within the language of the church as well, which Chris Bergwald and I have for many years now tried to find some simplicity and kind of universally just respond as a diocese. So when we say certain things, we know what we mean. So yeah. that will be part of it as well.
That's an age-old problem, I think, and probably maybe a little better than it used to be because we have so many more lay people involved who, you know, aren't steeped in that language quite in the same way. But it's still a danger, isn't it? I mean, we can use terms and use language that leaves people on the outside, and that's not what we want.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot, especially as when our roles will change to the discipleship office.
Yeah.
And parishes say, well, we do discipleship, and we'll question that. Well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that we have all the answers, but let's at least talk about it. And so we know how we can continue to work together and journey together.
Yeah. Again, and I like what you said before about it's really just a lot of back and forth, isn't it? Because it's the whole idea is to support each other. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Probably the biggest change that's been here since I've been here is we've tried to, instead of trying to provide a solution at the diocesan level that all parishes should adapt, the subsidiarity idea with our parishes, we really want you to think about these things yourselves and have a vision. Our job is to just kind of come in and offer an outside look. So we're not so much telling parishes what to do anymore, which can be really frustrating for some parishes because they want to be told what to do.
Just tell me, yeah.
So that's where the challenge really is. And it is, it's changed where we really do just want to walk with the parishes, get to know them and offer support in the best way that we can.
Well, it'd be interesting to see the reaction as you do this new orientation for the leaders. And I hope that is as successful as you hope it will be. You touched on you mentioned the Going Deeper retreats. And the other thing that you're developing now for those young folks who may be interested in doing something more and learning
sure.
something more, I'm sure that's a great sign of hope for you.
Yeah, it's good when it started at a decamp when there's a group of youth who just kind of said, like, how do we... I don't just want to go home and have another year.
Yeah.
let's take this, let's make it real in our lives. How do we do that? And I just met with them. I said, well, why don't we just do a retreat just to focus on that? And it started about 4 or 5 years ago with those 6 kids coming to the Abbey of the Hills for a 3-day weekend. And now we have coming twice a year, we have about 25 youth and about 10 to 12 adults that are coming to help with these retreats. And it has continued to grow to kind of say, well, decamp isn't bad, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
Like decamp is actually really good. It's inspiring something even greater. And so I want to be able, that really is the act of discipleship is when they are ready to drop their nets, can we help them?
Yeah.
And not say, yes, they drop their nets, but then they look around and say, Jesus, where'd you go? And so we want them to continue to be formed and knowing where to look.
How does a young person know which one might be right for them? Because there are some other opportunities out there. Search you know, is still available.
Sure.
You're going deeper retreats. There's other things that they can do. How do they know which one is right for them?
A lot of times it depends. I think it's important to do the things that will connect them with others that it's just kind of what they know already. So if there are people in your parish that go to search, I think it's good for them to go to search with mm-hmm. those friends. To do it together, I think, is important. The going deeper is really... We've promoted as for those desiring to grow deeper in their prayer life
okay.
or deeper in their faith. So and we've had several youth.
In a sense,
youth,
a different focus.
Yeah, and they many youth come kind of on their own. They're kind of the one, they feel like the only one in their class in their parish that really has that desire. And they're saying, yes, this is for me. It's kind of the misfits
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
we're looking for more. But I would say like we have our youth conference decamps are very... their charismatic is the word the church would use, but the idea is to draw out that conversion, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Search has that same kind of tone where search, you go to one, but then you might come back after you've had that experience. And I think going deeper retreats are intended to be that same thing, where it really is for those youth who have encountered Christ and are wanting to follow him more deeply.
And all of that, do they need to work through the parish on that, or do they work directly with your office? How do they get in touch with that?
With the Going Deep retreats, one of the things we ran into is a lot of youth want to attend the retreats for confirmation requirements. So we did kind of put up a little bit of a wall where if you're in freshman, sophomore year, you need a pastor letter from your pastor that's just saying, yes, this is for them. So other than that, yeah, they can apply on their own. Things like the youth conference, just because it's big numbers and for liability purposes, we need them to come with adults. So typically they'll register through their parish for something like that.
Yeah. Say a word about this year's youth conference. That's coming up in November.
Yeah. November 9th, we're going back to the Swiftel. We have a band, Josh Blakesley Band is coming in, and then Chris Bartlett's a youth minister of a parish, actually of Jen Folweiler's parish down in, Red Rock, Texas, I think is where she's from. But he's a youth minister of a parish of 7,000 families.
Wow.
So it's a huge parish. Funny guy. We've really, for our youth conferences, have been looking just for a lighthearted people who are just authentically can witness the love of Christ. And so he's coming. He's going to do a formation day for our leaders the day before. He's a good friend of mine. So it'll be a big day, full one day thing. And my biggest thing is I encourage parishes. We do hear some feedback from parishes saying it's a long day. The driving's tough. When it comes to wanting to build those relationships and to really offer a culture of faith, I would encourage them to take the drive and to enjoy the drive and to make that as part of the ministry. So I would encourage people to get in the car, make the trip to Brookings, and if it is just too long of a day, show up a little bit later, leave a little bit early.
Do what you got to do, yeah. but make it a priority.
But just be together for the day.
Yeah. And because you say that because you know the value that it ends up providing.
Yeah, as a youth minister in Aberdeen, that's something I look forward to every year. Was we hopped in a van and I would bring five or six young people to the youth rallies in Huron, and that drive was always the best part. Yeah. And we appreciated the conference. I know the conference could always be better. I know there's more we could do. But we really, finding those adults who really do desire to be with the young people and just see and find Christ in them and teach them about Christ. Those drives, just putting on music, enjoying things together, that's where we really find life.
Again, to sign up for the conference, you do that through your parish.
Yes.
Yeah. And you mentioned that's a kind of a requirement. I'm going to touch briefly on the March for Life, because I know that is coming up. It's a ways off yet, and I don't know that all the details are worked out exactly for this year's March for Life. But I know between your office and Emily Leadham's, the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, you've kind of been working together the last few years on that.
Yeah, and Emily really organizes the pilgrimage. I've went I've kind of went almost every other year since she's kind of taken it over, and it's one of those things that quietly grows and lives. And there's a certain demographic of people that are deeply convicted by it and they love it. And they tend to invite more people. So I would just encourage people, if it's something that you've been looking to do, wanting to do, please do consider going. It is something I know we've considered local efforts and just maybe not offering that anymore. It's obviously something people could go on their own at any point. But I would just encourage them to come. It's a beautiful pilgrimage, something that I personally like going to.
And again, what I've heard you and Emily and others who have been on this talk about, it's as much the journey as it is the destination. Just as you were saying about driving to the youth conference, it's kind of just a longer one.
Yeah. And I'm more than anyone, 6'3". Yeah. I don't like long bus rides overnight with young people.
Don't blame you.
But it is, there's something to that time together. And it's a pilgrimage. So yes, it's a little bit uncomfortable. And I just, it's a once in a lifetime thing for some families. And we see groups go, like parishes bring groups as usual, but it seems like the most fruitful times is when mom brings the daughter, or dad brings the daughter, and they go on the pilgrimage together. So I think it's just, we've set it up in that way to accommodate and receive those people. And I would just invite those people, especially to come along.
And is information out for the 2020 pilgrimage?
Yes, I know flyers are being sent out next week. So
excellent. So watch for those, probably on the website as well, I would suspect. Then you can find the details about that in terms of it. We know it's in January, but the exact dates and the departure information and all of that. Eric, one thing we haven't heard a lot about in the last couple of years are kind of the worldwide events, the World Youth Days. I know partly because of location, you know, our diocese hasn't always gone to those. But I also know that in past years, sometimes those have also been just tremendous moments of conversion for people, opportunities like that. Is anything like that on the horizon?
Yeah, they're going to Lima. It's no, Lisbon.
Lisbon, Portugal.
Yeah, yeah. It's so by Fatima. That's coming up. One reason we actually haven't had really anyone asking, which is one reason we haven't really seriously taken it too seriously. But also, what kind of happened over the years was they picked locations that just weren't high school friendly.
Yeah.
And so there's about 6 years there were two of them. It just wasn't, even nationally, people in my role would say this is not a place you take high school youth to. And so even universally within the church, when they say youth, the United States is really the only place that considers high school youth, and that sort of terminology. So when I went in 2005, 2009, it was just obvious that the Americans were the only ones bringing high schoolers. So we haven't had too much of an emphasis. We have had people go every year. Typically they'll go through their colleges. And I know we went to Spain. We did bring a group from our diocese to Spain. So, the possibility is out there, and I would just encourage people, if they're interested, we have connected with other people. We do know who's going. We do know how to get you to go. But as of right now, we don't have plans to lead a pilgrimage from our offices.
Something to think about for those that are listening this morning. If you know somebody or are interested in it, you can follow up with Eric's office, as really with anything this morning that we've talked about. I know the website's probably the best way to be in touch with you guys, email, phone call, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, our communications efforts are getting better and better. So, yeah, check it out online. There's ways to subscribe by email, text, all kinds of things.
Twitter, Instagram, it's all there.
Yes.
Whatever.
The youth office tries to dominate those social media profiles of the diocese, so we'll keep you up to date.
You got to be where the kids are.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Eric Gallagher, who directs the youth discipleship and evangelization for the diocese. Great to get a little update. Thank you much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Renee, people celebrating Labor Day this weekend in all kinds of ways, of course, at Labor Day tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
And it means the new month has begun.
Yes.
And the new issue of the Bishop's Bulletin probably should be in people's hands pretty quick.
Yes, it should be if it's not already. So we've got a few more good things in there that we didn't mention last week. We have a guest column by Chris Motes about bioethics and human dignity, which is very interesting. Some pictures from first day of school and some announcement about relics from Padre Pio that will be coming to the diocese.
And one other thing that you're doing is trying to put a little bit more on the website as well. So
yes.
Check out the website, sfcatholic.org, and you can see a lot of what Renee's talking about.
Yeah.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back with you next Sunday.